On the phone with me tonight is Bob Matthews, original member of the Night Raiders, which was a great group that backed up Mickey Hawks and had an incredible history. Thanks for joining me tonight, Bob.
Thank you for having me.
Bob, tell me about where you grew up and some of your first musical memories.
Brian, I grew up in Highport, North Carolina, the furniture capital of the world. In school, I played in the marching and concert band, and then I was in a combo that we played for high school functions. Then after high school, I started, rock and roll was coming into being at that time, and I started playing with various combos around the High Point area, and, you know, we played for big deal things like chicken suppers at one of the neighbor's houses or whatever. Always got something to eat, whether we made any money or not. And during that time, a friend of mine from high school that played piano and sang by the name of Mickey Hawks, he and I played with various combos. One I remember was a combo called the Rhythm Rockers. And I think we had maybe like two guitars and a set of drums and a piano, you know, very primitive. But we did the type music that was popular at that time, the things that we could do. Later on, there was a local group here in town, and the guy that owned the group or managed the group or the group belonged to him. The guy's name was Dallas Mullins, but he had a nickname of Moon Mullins. So he had a little four-piece country band, and he had had some bad luck. His drummer had got killed in a traffic accident, and they were looking for a drummer. So I auditioned and made the audition. So we was playing around in the High Point area for various little functions and this kind of thing. And I told him, I said, you know, what we need in this band is a piano man. And he said, oh, I ain't never heard of a piano in country music. That was back before Floyd Kramer came along. Anyhow, I talked him into listening to Mickey and giving Mickey a chance. And so he heard him. And Mickey had a talent for singing a lot of the rocking tunes like Little Richard and Fats Domino and Ray Charles. They had that type voice. So put Mickey on, and from there we decided that, well, you know, we need a saxophone. So Moon bought him a sax, and he learned to play that. So we ended up with a five-piece band, Mickey on piano and vocals. Moon did some country stuff, so he played guitar and sax and did vocals. And we had a young guy at that time. I don't think the guitar player was 14 or 15 years old. Most of us were, you know, in our late teens or early 20s at that time. And the guitar player's name was Bill Ballard, and then had John Owens on bass. So we had a five-piece group, and we did mostly cover work for the other songs that were out at that time, you know, the Little Richard stuff, the Fats Domino, Ray Charles. And everybody in the group sang except myself. I played the drums, and I didn't sing. So we were able to do a variety of music and built ourselves over the next few years as becoming what was billed in this area as the South's number one rock and roll band. So we had a pretty good following, played the East Coast and the Midwest. I stayed with the band on up to the early 60s when I left, and, of course, they carried on after that with the other members.
Tell me a little bit about Moon Mullins. Was he just doing a band, or was he also a DJ, or what else was he doing?
At the time that we started out, he worked in a furniture factory here in town and just played music as a sideline. In later years, he went on to become a disc jockey at a station up in Madison, North Carolina. I believe his call letters was WMYN. Don't even know that it exists anymore. And then he went on to own his own radio station over in Reidsville, which he sold that and retired now, so he's not in radio anymore.
Mickey Hawks, you said, was a friend of yours. Did you say you went to the same high school?
Yeah, we went to the same high school, and I knew him from that, and we'd played in various groups together before we got together with Moon.
And which high school, then, was that you went to?
We went to Jamestown High together. I left Jamestown in the 10th grade and graduated from Allen J. High.
So you're out playing and got a good following going. How did the first recording come to be?
Well, we thought we need something here to make money besides just the gate. And in this market here, the gigs that we were playing were basically dance hall. That was back before the clubs scene came into being. There was no alcohol served in the dance halls. All the drinking was done outside. You had a band or several bands, and you'd have this big auditorium or dance hall type setting. So there was a lot of those in this area. Not when we first started, but after we started and people started seeing that they could make money like that, everybody and his brother started getting into the dance hall business. So we decided that we needed something else to maybe make our expenses with, because a lot of nights we'd go out and we played for a percentage of the gate. And when we first started out, there was times when the gate wasn't anything. Wasn't enough to hardly pay our expenses to get back home. So we come up with the idea we was going to have a picture made, so we went out and had a professional picture made, and I had a cousin that was in the printing business, so he printed us up 500 copies of that picture, so we'd sell those for a dollar. Then we decided, well, let's make a record. So Mickey wrote this Bip Bop Boom that we had out, and he and I wrote the backside of that, the rock and roll rhythm. And we found a recording studio in Greensboro, North Carolina, and Mr. Robbins, Robbins Recording Studio, and the gentleman had a screened-in back porch on his house, and he had covered it with heavy plastic, that screen, and he'd built him a engineering board out of wood and, you know, put his electronic controls in there. He had, I don't know, three or four microphones and an Ampex 601 was what he recorded the original record, the Bip Bop Boom, on. And we recorded that and Rock and Roll Rhythm and a couple other tunes that never did get on the master whenever we went into the recording end of it. We did that. We had a 500 pressings made of that record, and it was on Mr. Robbins' Robbins Red Label. It was a red see-through plastic vinyl record, similar to what, you know, a lot of the Disney records were on.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take those around, we'd sell a picture and a record for a couple bucks. So that's how we got into the recording business, and that's where we recorded the first record.
So the first record was on Robbins Red Label, and you did 500 copies, and you just sold them then at your shows. Is that what you...
Yeah. And from that, we were playing a gig in Sanford, North Carolina, and a lot of the paratroopers from Fort Bragg danced there. It was at Oldham Lake and Pavilion there in Sanford, and we'd play there, I think, on a Friday night, maybe. And this guy from Chicago, I believe the guy's name was Thomas. I forget his first name. Ivan Thomas, I believe, was his name. He liked what he heard when we played, and he had a friend in Chicago by the name of Mike Ivory, and he asked us for one of our records, said he would send it to Mike, and Mike owned a record company. So he sent one to Mike, and Mike came down to High Point and signed us to a recording contract. And he owned a label in Chicago called Profile Records. And from that, we had another recording session there in Chicago at a rather large, very professional recording studio, and recorded Heidi, Heidi, Heidi. Also, there was an instrumental called Cotton Picking, which featured our guitar player, Bill Ballard. It was patterned after tunes that were popular at that time, like Walk Don't Run, and it was pretty good. There was another song at Mickey Penn called Screaming Meme and Jeannie, which was a pretty wild rocker. And let's see, I don't remember whether there's any more records or not.
Let's see, the flip of that one was called I'm Lost.
Yeah, I'm Lost, that's it. We recorded an old song that somebody else had wrote, Down the Road a Piece, but it never got put out.
Down the Road a Piece, well, I know Amos Milburn did a pretty wild version of that.
Down the Road a Piece, Mickey did the vocals on it, and it was basically a blues type song. You know, it was on the master tape, but it never got any farther than that.
I've seen a recording of Bip Bop Boom that appears to be somewhere between the Robbins Red release and the Profile Records release on Mart Records, showing the artist as Moon Mullins. Was that a totally different recording?
It was the same recording, and Mart label, it was a label out of Virginia, I believe Martinsville, Virginia. and it was one of Moon's buddies that was a disc jockey up there, had a little label there in Martinsville, Virginia.
So you basically recorded it on three different labels then?
Well, the original recording, like I say, the master tape was made in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was released on the Robbins Red label, then the Mart label, then it went to the Profile label.
Did you re-record it for Profile then?
No, we didn't. It was the original recording that was made in Greensboro. The guy that owned Profile Records, one thing that attracted him when he heard the sound, he said it sounded like the saxophone was being played through a sewer pipe.
Well, I can get a visual on that. So you had Bebop Boom out, and I understand it sold pretty well, at least in Chicago.
In the Chicago area, in the Midwest area, it did real well, and I think in places like Johannesburg, South Africa. but, you know, it never made the charts or anything. It was just a local thing.
Did it do well back at your hometown?
No, it didn't do that well. It's hard to break in your hometown, you know. In fact, when we were playing the circuit through this part of the country, you know, we'd play in our hometown, wouldn't draw too many people, but we'd go out 20 miles out of town and pack a house, you know.
So your second record that you mentioned, Heidi, 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 how did that one do?
Well, Cotton Picking was the A side on that. That was instrumental. And it didn't set any woods on fire anymore.
And then you were mentioning Screaming Mimi Jeanie, which is just a wild one. Well, it's probably my favorite of all, but how did that one come about?
The Screaming Mimi Jeanie, we needed something to go on the back of I'm Lost, so Mickey wrote that one night in the motel.
So are you saying that I'm Lost was the A-side then?
It was, because of the manager and record company owner wanted it to be the A-side, but, you know, our favorite was Screaming Mimi.
Well, in Profile Records, you know, they not only released your records, they had a couple of doo-wop groups on there and I think some blues artists. Did you ever have a chance to meet any of the other groups that recorded for Profile?
Bobby D and, let's see, there was another guy, Troy Shondale, that had out this time.
Right.
He recorded under the name of Gary Shelton for Profile. On the listings of the Profile artist, I don't think he appears on that. But he was recording for Profile at one time.
So while you were making the records and getting those issued, you stayed pretty busy as a band playing then?
Yeah, we played, you know, 5-6 nights a week. And we did a lot of work on the East Coast and then Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And then played in the Midwest quite a bit. Especially after we put out the records on Profile. We did a couple tours in the Midwest.
I'm talking to Bob Matthews, original drummer of the Night Raiders. And Bob, I think Mickey was the one in the group that continued to perform, even after the group broke up and went on into the 80s, performing and possibly even recording.
Well, now Mickey, he went on in later years to, he had a resurge of popularity in England during the 80s. He got connected up with a booking agency over in England. He was going over 3 or 4 times a year and playing gigs throughout Europe. And matter of fact, in 88, I went over and sat in with him on a gig that we did over on the North Sea of England, a place called Hensby, Norfolk. The rockabilly craze during the 80s was, you know, the teenagers were really going for the rockabilly music. I never knew that our music was rockabilly, but that's what they said it sounded like to them, so.
Well, now, Moon Mullins, he's still around then?
As far as I know, he still is. I've lost contact with all the guys. Mickey passed away in 89.
Right.
That was the last time that I've had any contact with any of the guys, was at Mickey's funeral, and I haven't seen any of them since.
Now, there was another release on the Piedmont label. Looks like it may have been the mid-60s. Was that after you had already left the group?
Yeah, that was after I left. That was with Mickey and a young lady that used to sing with the band after I left, by the name of Gwen Kellum. Talking about Bebop Boom, I've got something I pulled off the internet a while back that you were mentioning, Cotton Picking Heidi Heidi being on the Hunch label.
Yes.
According to this thing, there was a reissue of Bebop Boom and Rock and Roll Rhythm, and of course this was United Kingdom, on a Record Mart label, and also on the Mill label. The Screaming Mimi, Bebop Boom, and Cotton Picking were reissued on a DJ label.
That, I believe, was a German issue.
We did another instrumental that was released on the Lance label. It was under Moon Mullins and his Night Raiders. It was instrumental called Gonna Dance Tonight, Part 1 and 2.
Were you on that record?
Yes.
When did that one actually come out?
1961. And that was on a Lance label. Also was out of Martinsville, Virginia. A country singer that was right popular up in Virginia by the name of Jim Eanes. He was on a radio station up there, and he had that label called the Lance label.
So if you had one memory that you thought was the best of that whole time, it sounds like maybe 4 or 5 years that you were with the group, what would it be?
I think the best was a gig we did somewhere in Illinois. And my memory escapes me as to where it was at. But at that time, we just released Bip Bop Boom up there on the Profile label, and we were right much celebrities in that part of the country. And we did a gig at American Legion Hut, and that one, I recall that more than anything in this world, because we were autographing a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Can you be more specific? Or maybe I shouldn't have asked that.
I don't know whether your show is X-rated or not.
Okay, well, let's not go there then. I'll keep it clean. When you signed a contract, were you able to see some monetary rewards from the records?
I think it seemed like my share, and of course I was a fifth, you know, one-fifth of whatever we got. And it seemed like on all the records we put out, the best I can remember, it was less than $1,000. Didn't get rich.
So tell me,
the reason I'm not talking to you from the Caribbean.
So what are you doing now?
Well, I've spent 40 years in the convenience store business and retired from that last January. And I'm semi-retired. I appraise real estate now to keep me from going crazy.
I've been talking with Bob Matthews, an original member of the Night Raiders with Mickey Hawks and Moon Mullins. And Bob, thank you so much for spending the time with me to talk about the old days and the fun that you had when you were working with those guys back in the late 50s and early 60s.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.